This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here with Eric Yao from Precisely. We're going to talk about mainframe modernization and some of the challenges businesses face. Eric, nice to have you with me. Would you like to introduce yourself to everybody?
Sure. First off, it's a real pleasure being here with you, Ian, and Enterprise Times. My name is Eric Yao. I'm Chief Operating Officer for Precisely. So Precisely, we're one of the largest enterprise software vendors in the world. We operate in a large segment of the data management market called data integrity. The best way to think about data integrity is it's all the work that happens with your data between your core transaction systems, ERP systems, and your analytic environments to turn your data into trusted information. That's things like data integration, data cleansing, data quality, data profiling, master data management, data governance, and data enrichment. We've been focused in the space for many, many years. We have a view that it's too complicated in this market. When you talk to analysts, these are very segmented markets. We have a view that what customers need today is faster access to data, better decision making. We've got to simplify this, and that's been our journey, bringing all these capabilities together in an integrated offering of cloud services that can be deployed in a hybrid architecture. So that's a little bit about Precisely. I've been COO coming on 4 years now. It has definitely flown by. I've been in the data and analytics market for decades, working with companies like SAS, Cognos, IBM. I spent quite a bit of time at BMC and in other analytics businesses. I'm very versed in not only distributed systems, but also the importance of platforms like IBM Z and IBM I as part of what organizations run and operate.
So we're going to talk about mainframe modernization. It seems like a conversation we were starting to have in the 90s. The arrival of the mini computer seemed to be driving the mainframe into extinction. Over the 90s and early 2000s, we saw almost every mainframe manufacturer disappear. And then IBM reinvented with System Z, and suddenly the mainframe was back on again. But here we are, 2024, and the conversation about reimagining the mainframe and mainframe modernization is back on the table. Now, you made some announcements in Las Vegas a couple of weeks ago at AWS reInvent. Can you just give us a quick high-level view of those?
The biggest announcement is that we have a partnership with Amazon, which we're very excited about. They are leveraging Precisely as part of the technology to help replicate data from IBM Z systems. We just extended it to IBM I systems onto AWS and the AWS storage services, AI services, and so on. Like you, I've been in the industry for a while. I remember many discussions over the years and decades, which is famous. IBM is dead. Cloud is going to supersede all of that. What we're seeing is a little bit of this coexistence world and a little bit of the hybrid. What we're seeing today is when they talk about hybrid, in many organizations, hybrid includes those IBM environments. These are environments which have been used for mission critical transaction systems that are banking, for insurance, for airlines, for so on. It's very hard to replicate the redundancy, the reliability, the transaction capability of those environments. Amazon has been seeing this demand. Customers are looking to leverage that mission critical data from those platforms and move it to the cloud so that they can apply some of the new modern, for example, AI technologies to it and mine that information for a competitive advantage. That is really the big push that we've seen accelerate over the last 2 or 3 years with some of the newer technologies. We're very, very excited with this partnership that we have with Amazon. Many of us just came back from reInvent, and that was one of the buzzes of the conference, which we're really, really thrilled about. So very excited by that.
Two things come to mind immediately from that. Perhaps the most important is that the mainframe and IBM I have been repositories for our system of record. These are the absolute crown jewels of an organization, but they're also the location for transactional databases and everything else. When you're talking to those customers who are looking to move off of those platforms and into cloud, how do they see that change to what is a system of record? Is this going to be a coexistence, or are they literally looking to migrate and now see the cloud as their primary platform going forwards?
As a business, we have thousands and thousands of customers on the Z platform and on the I platform. So we do get a pretty good read of this. One of the things to answer your question is we see a little bit of it all. It's a very bespoke strategy that our customers are taking on. They're all on a modernization journey. And for some of the customers, they are looking to replicate the transaction capabilities onto cloud-based platforms. For many, and I would argue most, we are seeing, to your point, a coexistence strategy. This is what these platforms are built for, mission-critical transaction processing. We've got a breadth of our data from some systems running that transaction processing, but we want to make it and leverage that data for other purposes. So that it is a coexistence where they want to replicate that data over to those cloud-based environments and then apply it for anything from reporting and analytics to ML models to extending the application for new functionality and so on. It's a blended perspective that we see across our customers, but we're seeing many focused on coexistence and replication of data between those worlds strategy.
One of the other things you said was that these customers were looking at this and they wanted to take advantage of newer models, newer applications, newer ways of doing things. But at the same time, if we look at IBM, it's never stood still. It has a lot of really advanced analytics. It was ahead of everybody on the machine learning curve, if we think back, with Watson and what it did there. What is it that these companies are actually looking to gain by coming to the cloud? Because I'm sure that's a conversation they've been having with you in terms of the types of applications and what their expectation is.
It's interesting. As I mentioned earlier, I was with a company called Cognos. Cognos was acquired in IBM, and a bunch of the technologies were leveraged to build out Watson. So I'm very familiar with that body of work before I left, and some very compelling work done by IBM and continues to be done by IBM. What we're seeing is that customers are looking to replicate that data, keep those two worlds tightly coupled, but then they see the flexibility of being able to leverage new technologies which are coming up from these cloud providers at an incredibly rapid pace. One of the things at reInvent, which I'm personally very interested in, is on top of Amazon's large language models, things like Q, which is a natural language processing capability. So the pace of innovation and the cost to be able to test out these technologies on these cloud-based platforms is something that we're seeing large, medium, and small organizations covet and wanting to be able to leverage that. It is not to say that they won't leverage IBM's analytic capability on those platforms, but they want to have the choice across all the technologies because they need to get the most value out of the data. It's more important now than last year and the year prior. So they want that ability to have the flexibility of the tooling and offerings and services that they choose to use.
One of the strengths of Precisely is its ability to walk companies through data cleansing, but also data enrichment. You've made quite a number of acquisitions over the last decade in that enrichment space. How many of these customers, as part of that modernization process, as part of that bringing data to the cloud, are making that a pipeline where the process sees additional cleansing processes, additional strengthening of the quality of data, enrichment of that data? Is that a pipeline that they're putting in place, or are they doing those post-move?
That is a great question, and I'm so glad you asked that. We are seeing a lot. You look at what we call our data enrichment business, it's measured in hundreds of millions of dollars. We do not think about it as a separate business, like a post-processing business after you've moved data, clean data, governed data. Oh, let's think about adding third-party data, risk attributes, property information, wildfire risk, all those types of things. It is something that we're seeing more and more of our customers with a basic premise, which is, look, I really only have one main mission, which is I need to get the breadth of data together in a trusted format to be able to support faster, more effective, more accurate decision making. In order to do that, you not only have to cleanse existing data that you have inside your four walls, but enrichment in order to make the right decisions is a fundamental part of that. So many organizations are basically saying, we cannot do this post. It must be plumbed in as part of the pipeline. We're thrilled with that on our side because we've always thought about it that way. We've always thought that customers should not be making those mission critical decisions based solely upon the data that they create and manage. There's so much wealth of additional information that should be leveraged, especially in today's world where AI and large language models can consume and make sense and deliver useful information out of a much larger body of data than 2 years ago, than 5 years ago, than 10 years ago, the ability to bring that information together quickly, accurately, for easy analysis consumption is very, very critical. So we're thrilled to see the market respond that way.
One of the challenges that's always existed when we've cleaned and enriched data is that we don't feed it back to the original source. So the next time we come to use that data, we've got to clean and enrich it all over again. And it's just been a huge money sink and a huge time sink for companies, particularly in the days when we did this with half a dozen ETLs into new sources. When you're seeing customers as part of this process doing this in line, how many of them are then looking to take that newly enriched and improved data and say, hey, this now has significant integrity over what it had. Can we re-export that back to those other platforms to enhance the system of record on those? Because they will clearly have apps that will stay on the mainframe and on IBMI that won't be using on the cloud.
I would say we are absolutely seeing that as a trend, kind of a very large group of customers moving to that en masse. It's probably a year or 2 years behind what we previously chatted about, the plumbing of data integrity pipelines that bring together first-party data and third-party data. But what we are doing, and we are doing a lot of work on our roadmap and in our research, is we are seeing many customers now starting to say, okay, I've got this result of this trusted data over here. It typically is plumbed, let's say, on a AWS environment, and I want to bring that back to my transaction systems. That is becoming much more of a thing. To the prior point we were talking about, coexistence, if we rewind back 3, 4, 5 years ago, coexistence meant moving data or replicating data from these I systems and Z systems to these cloud or multi-cloud hybrid architectures over here. But we are definitely seeing, okay, now I've got clean data, I've got a result of some analysis, churn analysis, a fraud analysis, a underwriting calculation, whatever it is, I need to take that and plumb it back into those core operational systems. So we're excited. I think we will see continued momentum on that over the next 2 or 3 years in the market. It's definitely at the front end of that.
If I look at software companies, we're seeing a continued move towards the idea of continuous integration, continuous delivery. It seems that there's a real trend here in terms of continuous data integrity. I know it's not a phrase that's being used, but it opens up a gap potentially here for how to productize that pipeline in such a way as to be able to drop your products in and literally enable them to quickly turn it on and off, but not just in terms of data integrity and data enrichment. There's also the issue of compliance. Where do you see compliance coming in? Because again, the other reason these systems of records were on those platforms is they were felt to be so much more secure than cloud, and therefore they were easier for regulators to understand and people to meet compliance. Do you see compliance controls coming in at this point? And is this now going to be a continuous process rather than burst process?
Yes. Let me break that question into two pieces. First off, that's exactly our perspective. All companies are looking to be able to get to that trusted data on a regular and continuous basis. They are not looking for once a year, once a quarter, once a whatever, and they're always looking to make it better. Every day of every month of every year, they're like, okay, I may be getting this information, but I need more now and I need better. That is driving organizations to think, as you said, about continuous data integrity. In order to deliver continuous data integrity, which is moving the right data, cleaning it along the way, governing it and making sure it's in compliance for its usage, enriching it and so on. We believe that companies and the suppliers who support these companies need to think about this in an integrated way. If you think about this as independent pieces, it becomes very complicated to be able to solve the velocity and agility that you're talking about. That's been the body of work that we're doing. One of the things I'd say is I wish that we would see more and more. The analysts are starting to recognize that data quality and data governance and data catalogs, for example, are not independent markets by themselves. They are all technical. There's technical differences between them, but it's around governing your data and making it available for trusted decision making. What we believe is all these capabilities need to be well integrated together with a common set of APIs, with a common set of easy user experiences, which are geared towards key personas like data stewards, et cetera. As to the second point, one of those components of that is data governance. Data governance, as you mentioned, on these mainframe and IBMI environments, it's very well controlled and very well architected. Once you go hybrid, you've got to make sure you've got that central control point. And that central control point, if you think about these independent pieces, it becomes much harder to understand all the metadata, what is PII, what is not PII, who has rights to certain type of information, who has not. That's another reason, to your point, why we believe this needs to be thought of fully integrated as one solution set, not independent pieces. And that's what we've been building and delivering to the market.
Now, we're doing this just before Christmas. And normally, I just ask people for a couple of things companies should think about. I'm going to break with 7 years of tradition of doing podcasts. So instead of just asking for things to think about, let's have some predictions here. Think about mainframe modernization, cloud hybrid, the movement to this data. What do you predict we're going to see in 2024? Is it going to be an acceleration?
It's a good question. I would say one of the things that we are seeing, and I'm driving the sense off of some of the conversations with customers that I had at reInvent with Amazon by our side, I think we're going to see much, much more of modernization. Corporate modernization includes mainframe and IBMI as part of it. It is not a push from one set of infrastructure to the other. I think we're going to see that these two worlds will accelerate in the bridge between cloud environments and these mission critical transaction systems. Why do I say that? It's because first, we talked about it before, most companies' mission critical data sits on IBM and ZNI, but then in this cloud based world, some of the latest technology like large language models, AI, all those pieces are changing how customers get useful information out of that data. Every CEO, chief data officer, chief marketing officer is asking to understand the value that they can get out of this, but they want to apply it against their mission critical transaction data. And they are going to, and we're seeing this, they're looking to drive these worlds closer and closer together in a faster and faster, as you said, continuous way. That's why we are so excited about the partnership. We have Amazon, a large cloud provider, really recognizing their role in being able to bring these worlds together and partnering with Precisely to be able to do it. It's been a great year for us. I think you hold me to this. Maybe we should revisit this late next year, but I am confident that is exactly what's going to happen in 2024, which is only a few days now away.
So let's widen this discussion to look at AI and data integrity in general. One of the problems we have with using public LLMs is we know how dirty they are. There's no cleanliness. But there's also a false perception that if we build an LLM based on our corporate data, it will be perfectly clean. That's not the case. There's going to be bad decisions. There's going to be good decisions. All of that's going to become part of that LLM. When you think about data integrity and AI from a bigger perspective, what do you see companies focusing on going forwards that is aimed at improving or getting the best out of AI trends as opposed to any other usage?
As we were mentioning in the prior conversation, AI is on everybody's mind. But as you mentioned, there's this world of how do I use it? How do I responsibly use it? It's something we chat about inside Precisely. We want to make sure that we leverage it for the customers. And we're seeing more and more customers wanting to make sure they understand how we are appropriately using it. That same conversation is happening in every organization across the world. What I'm seeing is that just like us, our customers are experimenting. They have a governance model in some way, which they run corporately, typically out of a CDO office or CISO office, or working in concert with legal teams, then they're using a process where they're assessing the type of data and the type of answers that they're looking to get out of the LLMs and choosing the approach based upon an understanding of the data and the risk of the outcome. Again, it's a little bit of a very bespoke approach based upon what they're looking to get as to the type of technique and the type of approach and the type of data that they're using. It's still a little bit of learning that I'm seeing in order to make sure we get the full value in the appropriate way with this.
If we think about data integrity in itself, I can remember 40 years ago, we would spend time extracting data, cleaning it, doing some enrichment. And at the time, we would think 60% clean data was absolutely the benchmark. Today, that's got to be closer to 90-95%, not just for AI, but just in terms of pure data integrity. What is needed to get organizations to understand how high that bar is today? And what do you see as being the key things they want to enrich and improve their data with?
To the what is needed, I think you've gave good advice, frankly, which is organizations need to think about continuous data integrity. Data, as you mentioned, let's say was 60% clean, and now you need 90% clean. There's obviously a clear benefit to business of that differentiation. And that 90% is only going to increase. And then as we talked about, when you do that assessment, you no longer have to just think about 90% of your corporate data. You have to be thinking about the percentage of not only your corporate data, but other third-party data that supports your information. I believe what companies need and what we are seeing is a view that continuous data integrity is an agile approach to delivering data integrity is critical. And in order to do that, just like you see in agile, you need a integrated process with an integrated set of technologies that are seamless, that carry all the capabilities that we previously discussed to allow organizations to be able to do that continuous agile delivery of data integrity. Without that, what we're seeing is customers apply an incredible amount of cost trying to bring together multiple sets of tools which have different definitions of data and metadata. And then, as you mentioned, thinking about enrichment post-processing, that is becoming less and less effective in the world today where you can consume and get information out of larger and larger volumes of data, whether through large AI and large language models or just other techniques in order to understand it. That's the push. That's the one that we started our journey on 3 years ago. And we've been focused on delivering this as what we call the data integrity suite, which is a native cloud-born set of integrated services, which can run everything from native on cloud or Snowflake or Databricks to on-prem to give customers choice and help them on that migration, but all through a common set of APIs and UXs. And so I think we'll see more and more customers move that way 2024 and beyond.
In terms of enrichment, looking to next year, given your history of enrichment and the acquisitions you've made, what do you see as being the gaps in enrichment that companies are going to want to close next year?
With data enrichment, we chat about software capability, and we talk about the fact that companies, and I believe analysts, should be thinking about things like data integration and data quality or data quality and data governance. While they may be individual technology pieces, they all serve one business purpose, which is to get the trusted data. That same push is also true in data enrichment and third-party data. You have data, let's call it location-centric data. You have geographic-centric data. You have business entity-centric data. If you're listening to this and you see the value of integrating the technical capabilities together, the same reason you have to think about bringing together all these data attributes. And there is a way to stitch these together such that all of them can be easily consumed and integrated as part of that software and data integrity pipeline. We use something called the Precisely ID. What the Precisely ID does is if you're using our technology and moving data through our pipeline, we will automatically attach a unique identifier if you request it during that process. With that Precisely ID entered in, and it's an alphanumeric attribute, you can then use that to take any of our 400 data sets of data and enrich it from many of the things I chatted about previously, point of interest information, risk information, consumer behavior information, kind of all of that can be weaved together. So it's really those two working harmoniously and simultaneously together, which significantly moves the needle on that continuous data integrity journey that you're espousing here.
Eric, thank you for your time.
Ian, it's been an absolute pleasure. Very insightful questions. I look forward to coming back and visiting with you, and we can debate whether any of my predictions are right or not. But it's been a real pleasure, Ian.
Thank you.